Time is Disease this week, and with us is Oxford neuroscientist Richard Wade Martins, who's trying to learn more about the disease process by turning patients' skin cells into brain cells. We'll talk to Richard in a moment, but first, back to Chris Dobson. Chris, you're a little bit like the spaceship in that video game that we demoed earlier. Your day-to-day life is devoted to trying to find drugs that will actually target the problem proteins in Alzheimer's rather than just masking the symptoms.
Well, I've been described as many things. I mean, our view is that, like many of the diseases in the past, or all of the diseases, I think, in the past, really, until you understand the real mechanism, it's almost impossible to develop effective drugs. And I think this has been one of the problems so far in trying to treat Alzheimer's disease. So what we're trying to do, in fact, is to take the A-beta peptide that Jody mentioned and understand exactly the mechanism by which it begins to clump together, the steps that it goes through, how it forms species that are toxic, why they're toxic, and how it eventually forms the plaques. And we've found a lot out about that, and we've done that in the test tube. And so what we want to do now, and what we're beginning to do now, is to say, does the same sort of thing happen in living systems? And we've taken very simple organisms. You're going to ask me about the fruit fly, which is one of the ones.
I am about to. I've heard rumours that you work with the common or garden fruit fly that maybe hover above people's bananas as they get a little bit moldy.
We do. I hope these ones don't hover around people's bananas. But what we're really trying to do then is actually to generate what we sometimes call test tubes with wings that we can put by transgenic means, by genetic engineering, the same peptide, the A-beta peptide, into the brains of fruit flies. And then we can choose lines of flies which have much the same sort of symptoms as you see in Alzheimer's disease. They form plaques, they have difficulty moving around. We haven't checked very carefully what they can remember, but we know that they actually don't live so long and so forth. And that gives us a system where we can look at thousands or millions of flies to get very good statistics on the way that molecules interact with the A-beta peptide. And so what we're able to do is to take molecules that we found in the test tube and see what effect they have in these model organisms.
And so you're able to really screen new compounds or compounds that are in existence at the
Absolutely.
Moment and find out if they can revert this misfolding of this protein that's toxic to nerve cells and stop it from causing Alzheimer's.
Absolutely. And I think there are really two aims that we would have. One is to reduce the risk of it, the chance of this happening, which of course would be a bit like a sort of statin for heart disease. It just makes it less likely you'll get it. And the other is actually to try to do therapeutic, a real cure, or at least to find a molecule that will stop this process occurring so that the disease doesn't progress. And so we're able to test these ideas out in these simple systems.
I mean, the drugs that are currently used for those people that have Alzheimer's, what do they do? Do they not affect all this protein misfolding and try and revert that?
Well, actually, what they don't do is actually slow down at all the progression of disease. There's no evidence that any current drugs actually have an effect on the progression of disease, I'm afraid. What drugs do is help to alleviate some of the symptoms. And so that's really all we can do for patients at the moment. But our hope, of course, is that we can find drugs that will actually suppress the processes that give rise to disease.
And that's why it's so imperative that you continue your work looking at this chemistry, this basic biology, and trying to develop new compounds.
Absolutely. And I think we heard from some young people. I think they're the people who need to be aware of what's going on, because it takes a long time to develop drugs. And the amount we spend on research on Alzheimer's disease is minute compared with the amount we spend on cancer and heart disease, even though the cost to society and the economy are much greater of Alzheimer's disease.
JD?
Yeah, I mean, just following on from that point, really, I mean, it costs the UK economy £23 billion a year, you know, which is huge.
Phenomenal.
And with the numbers going through the roof, that's only going to get a lot worse. You know, it's set to hit a million and then start doubling every sort of 25 years. And, I mean, with the game in particular, we're trying to get young people interested in an area that they probably don't think is going to affect them, but the young people of today are going to become the carers of tomorrow.
And I suppose previously there was quite a lot of stigma around Alzheimer's disease, as there was with cancer. So patients that had cancer, you know, 50 years ago, they didn't want to mention the C word.
I think it's absolutely right. 50 years ago, if someone was diagnosed with cancer, the question was, did you tell them? And the answer is you didn't normally tell them, because there was almost nothing you could do. And I think the developments in the 1970s, particularly the 1971 National Cancer Act in the US, opened up the whole field, and people started talking about it, therapists started appearing, a lot more money was put into it, a lot more people were engaged in it. And that's absolutely what we need to do now. And so these methods that Jody is talking about, to get people aware of the disease and aware that we can do something, I'm very optimistic. I think we can have dramatic effects on the onset of disease and prevention of disease, but it's going to take a long time, it's going to take a lot of effort, just as cancer did.
Well, let's bring in